that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening. Welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, sitting across the board from me. Good evening, Mr. Timothy Dennis.
Evening.
How are you, sir?
Doing good.
Wow, it's been a fun couple of weeks. We've been getting a lot of emails, a lot of feedback on the show. Thank you very much for tuning in and checking out all over the United States, and especially here in Minnesota. It's nice to be back on the terrestrial airwaves in our homeland.
Our homeland.
Well, the homeland of Minnesota.
Our country, tis of thee.
Listen, there's some really cool stuff going on you guys got to check out. Again, check out our regular website, darknessradio.com. You can contact Tim and I with guest ideas. You can also contact us and contact our news correspondents with news ideas from all around the world and our national news correspondent. You can also get in touch with our book reviewer, Susan Cummins, and review or recommend books that she could read and review. We have Nicole Remini, who does our movie reviews. You can contact her on our website by going to the movie review section and telling her what movies you'd like to see. We also have the past movie reviews up, so you can actually look and check them. If you missed one out, you can see what's going on. We're not going to just review the movies that are coming out to the theaters. We're going to do some of the classics.
We're going to live them.
That's right, and we're going to do the classic books as well. So check that out, and we're going to have some fun with that. So check it out. And then for our podcasts, we have all of our old shows archived on our website at darknessradio.com. So you can go back 3 years if you've enjoyed what you've heard so far and you want to hear more, and you can listen in the comfort of your own home. You can go to darknessradio.com, click on the archives, and there's our past shows there. Any of the new archives, there you can find our homepage. Click on it, click on the podcast. All of our shows are there for you to download and listen to, so you never have to miss another show. Even if you can't listen live, you can always check the shows on the website. Tell your friends, neighbors, enemies, whatever. Let them know that we're here, and hopefully they'll join us each Saturday and Sunday night from 9 p.m. to midnight. A couple of quick suggestions. Check our website, because we do have our Halloween party. The first ever annual Darkness Radio Halloween party is going to take place at the Haunted Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota. And we do have availability in the rooms there. We've got tickets so you can come in and just hang out for the party and be there, meet other fans of the paranormal, have just a good time dressing up. We're going to have contests for best costumes. And I still think, Tim, somebody should come dressed as you and I. What if you come dressed as me and I'll come dressed as you?
I like that.
All right, can you do the eyebrow?
Yeah,
you better work on it.
What?
Get some duct tape or something. Pinch it up.
I think I do pretty good job, don't I?
You look like you're passing last week's burritos.
Well, I still am, yeah. That's between me and my doctor.
We've got that going on. Tim and I will be out there. Also, Nicole Remini. We're working on a couple other fun guests. I think we're going to have Scotty Roberts, the Tarot reader, is going to be out there, and he'll be offering up Tarot. A bunch of fun stuff. So hopefully you'll join us out there live for Halloween. It's going to take place on Friday, the 31st of October. Join us out there for that. We also have a couple of really cool events coming up, and you can check those out on our website at darknessevents.com. Again, darknessevents.com. We're going to be at Rolling Hills Sanitarium out in New York in November 13th through the 16th with the Ghost Adventures guys, Archbishop James Long, the exorcist and demonologist, Mark and Debbie Constantino, the EVP specialists, Bill Chappell, the ITC specialist who's creating some of the most cutting-edge and unbelievable ghost hunting equipment on the market. You can find more about him on digitaldowsing.com. And, of course, Tim and I will be out there. So check out our website for that. And then coming up in May, we're going to go back to Waverly Hill Sanitarium, where we've had some of the most amazing activity take place. And we're going to be out there with Chris Fleming and Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence, Archbishop James Long. Ghost Cop Stacey Jones will be there, just like she's going to be at Rolling Hills. Got a lot of great stuff going on. So go check out our website. Sign up. Hopefully we'll see you out at the events. Have a great time with us. Everybody that comes loves them. So I know if you give us a shot, you're going to enjoy it as well. Now we're going to get into tonight's show, Timothy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. Is there certain, you know, penalties I can get for making a woman have to watch a bunch of really crappy horror movies back to back?
Oh, yes, there are.
Yes, because on the line with us again, we have our favorite movie reviewer, Nicole Remini. Good evening.
Hello, sexiest man in the paranormal realm.
Wow, Tim, did you hear what she thinks of you?
I know.
That is hot.
You're so sexy, I can't even stand it.
Oh, my God. We've become an adoration society here on the air. So I made you watch Prom Night, and she still thinks we're sexy. That's hot. So
not we, you, sir. Oh, me, I'm the stuff she scrapes off her shoe every day.
Oh, you stop that.
That's not true. So let's talk Prom Night. I didn't let you watch the original. We wanted the new Prom Night. Now, Okay, let's just start out straight out of the guns blazing here. Is it good or bad?
Did I what?
Is it good or is it bad?
Oh, I thought he said, did I go to bed? I'm like, yes. Come on, let's get off the dirty talk. You know, I think that if you want a good stab 'em up, bloody movie, it was just brutal. It was just so violent. I was very surprised. I mean, the movie starts out with this kid, this vision of a kid being slaughtered. I'm like, why do I want to see, like, a dead 10-year-old with his throat cut?
Oh, no. So, they're going after the little kids? Ugh.
And being a mommy, I didn't love that.
No.
I did not that set the scene for me of, like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. But,
you know, that's the strange thing that's kind of, you know, they've gone away from good old-fashioned horror stories, telling a really good ghost story, a good slasher flick. Can there be a good slasher? And, you know, the first Halloween scared the living crap out of me. Nightmare on Elm Street was a great story. Right. And you just had a different approach to it. And now they've just become more about the buckets of blood they can throw at the screen. And
that is exactly what this movie is. No, it is a movie about a bucket of blood. I don't remember the first Prom Night, so I hate to say it. You know, it came out, in the 70s, and I was 2, 4 in 1970. So I don't really remember the premise of it other than obviously Prom Night, but it's a teacher who's obsessed with this kid, and that you learn from the get-go, so I'm not giving anything away.
Right.
But the thing, you know, I'm really big in continuity, and I, you know, friend, for those of you who don't know what that word means, it's, you know, just follow through in the whole movie. And there's apparently she moves away because her whole family gets slaughtered. And then the kids at her prom recognize this teacher. So I was like, okay, that makes no sense. But the stabbings, like I said, were so brutal. Like, you can hear the knife, like, going through these kids' bodies and hitting the floor. I mean, that is how brutal it was.
Well, that's not good. So there's not much story or content. It's just more about the gore and the violence?
Right, and it just went on too long. I was just like, all right, kill somebody already. Let's get over it. You know, the flying pigeons in this beautiful hotel. I'm like, pigeons? Come on. Why in a scary movie does there always have to be a flying pigeon that has to scare you?
It's the whole John Woo thing. They're going for that cool little slow-mo pigeon motion. Is that what they were doing in this one?
Yeah, that's totally what they did. You know, of course, you know, one of them ends up on a floor that's having construction done, and that's where the pigeons are. So, you know, it's just one of those that I just thought it's just too... Brutal is the word I'm going to go for. It was brutal on many levels. It was brutal to watch, and there was brutal murders.
But what they have kind of done is they've taken the suspense factor of wondering who the killer is. They just let you know that up front, right? And it's just him kind of stalking.
You know who it is.
And they just have him stalking it. Now, what's the whole? Why is he stalking this girl? Is he have some kind of strange crush?
Can we say pedophile?
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, I'm like ew. Like, the whole thing to me was just ew. You know, starting from the dead kid to the pedophile, I will have her. She will be mine. Like, ew, gross, disgusting. You know, put a warrant out for this guy's arrest. You know, and he escapes out of prison, and that's how the whole thing starts. And miraculously, he figures out which prom she's at. I mean, it's prom night, and he just, without even searching, just ends up at the hotel. Like, oh, my gosh, there she is. and, of course, you know, the hot boyfriend gets killed, and it's just like, oh, come on, do something new.
Yeah, that's I can't believe the amount of remakes they're doing. Is Hollywood that stripped for ideas that...
Yep.
they've remade Halloween. They've remade Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
They've remade Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They are remaking, and it should be out, I think, next year, the new Friday the 13th.
Right.
They're remaking Nightmare on Elm Street and remaking Hellraiser. They remade Prom Night. Yeah, I mean...
I got an original idea.
What's that?
The original idea is Lassie is a Cujo-type animal.
Yes.
Like Cujo.
Yeah, Lassie turns on Timmy, kills Timmy, huh?
Lassie into the darkness, we call
there
it.
There you go.
What do you think?
Yeah, can Timmy be at least 20-something? Could at least be an adult?
Yeah, and a strapping young buck who's baling hay without a shirt on,
that's
right?
What I was just going to say.
That's my kind of murder mystery.
That's my kind of murder mystery.
For Nicole, he's going to be buff, no shirt on. He's always going to be stretching and flexing the abs and the pecs.
Give me Tatum Channing, and I'm happy.
Wow. I'll just take Tatum O'Neal.
Okay.
She's a wreck. She's easier to tag.
Wow. So,
got to take what you can in my age, Tim.
Oh,
all
right.
So, Christy McNichol has nothing going on, too.
Let's see. Out of 5 stars, what are we recommending on this one?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to even one.
One. One out of five.
One. I'm telling you, I started writing this up during the movie. So that just goes to tell you what I thought about it.
Now, we're going to be out at the premiere for Ghost Town this next Wednesday, so we're going to review that next week, and that's the new comedy. It's a ghosty movie starring Greg Kinnear and Ricky Gervais from the original Office. Right, so we're gonna review that. It'll be kind of a fun movie, and we're both going to go see that. Timmy's going to be out there. We're going to go see this comedy horror movie, if you will, and see how that parlays out. Hopefully, we'll get you a little bit more entertainment value than we did with Prom Night.
And, you know, and if the listeners, again, if they go to the website, they can send any suggestions over to me that they, you know, want us to talk about, want us to see. We'll absolutely do it. They just have to go to the website.
Yeah, and I do, actually. I got an email today, and there's a movie this guy sent out. It's like the St. Francis Experiment or something. And,
oh, awesome.
Yeah, so I'll send you that over and take a look at it. He said it's kind of in the vein of the Blair Witchy feel, he said, but there's some really good scares in it. So we'll awesome. Have you check that for another week out and see what we can come into. And we're coming into our time of year because all the good scary movies are going to be popping up here pretty soon.
So excited about that.
Very cool. Now, also remember, you can go check our website at darknessradio.com, and it'll be up at ktlkfm.com. You'll be able to check on the past reviews for Nicole, and you'll be able to see the movies that she's talked about. And she'll be posting those each week in a written form and give you the star ratings. And this one, again, falls miserably short with just 1 star. Well, thank you again for joining us, Nicole, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week on the show. You guys are listening to Darkness Radio, and we're going to be back with more, and our international correspondent, Adrian Lee, calling in from England with all new stories of the strange and unusual from all over the world. Stay tuned. Good evening. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We are your home for paranormal talk radio. My lovely co-host, Tim Dennis, sitting across the board from me. Tim, it's one of your favorite parts of the show.
I love this part.
Because we're going to go all the way to England. And we're bringing back your favorite little Brit, and he's going to tell us all about the craziness that's going on in the world around us. So welcome back, international correspondent and all-around English hottie, Mr. Adrian Lee. Good evening, Adrian.
That's very kind of you. Hi, Dave. Hello, America.
We're getting a lot of emails. People are loving the accent.
Well, that's it's the only one I've got.
Yeah.
Ahoy, matey, fish and chips.
No, not so much, Tim.
Oh.
They said, I've gotten emails, ladies are saying, dude, I don't care if he reports the news. He can just read the phone book, and I'll just sit and listen. So, Adrian, you've got the easiest job on the show.
Phone book.
What was that?
It would make it a lot easier for me if I just read the phone book.
No, you're great at digging up the news for us. What do we got going this week?
We've got some very strange and quirky stories. Would you like me to get stuck in? We've got lots to get through.
Yeah, go ahead.
Excellent. We're going to start in China this week, so we'll start off with a few strange stories.
Okay.
A Chinese couple received a police caution for trying to teach their dog to drive this week. Yes, believe it or not, traffic police at Lunan spotted a car driving too slowly on a local expressway. As they pulled in behind the car, officers were amazed to see a poodle with its front legs on the steering wheel. The dog's rear legs were resting on the woman driver who was controlling the foot pedals. We immediately signaled the car to pull over, said one of the patrolling officers. The woman says she and her boyfriend came up with the idea of teaching the dog to drive after noticing the expressway was nearly empty and the weather was good. I mean, because it would have been just plain stupid, wouldn't it, to teach
the dog to drive? Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
You know, so fair enough. It's unclear at this stage whether it was the dog or the owner that got the ticket.
Don't you want your poodle to be able to drive in inclement weather, though, just in case?
Well, they've obviously not thought this through. I mean, imagine the chaos if it saw a cat driving in the opposite direction. I mean, there's a recipe for trouble right there. They've clearly not thought this through, and there's been a complete lack of planning there, isn't there?
Yeah, and everybody knows Dobermans are the way to go when you're going to drive anywhere.
That's right, yeah. They're more decisive.
Oh, that's frightening. China, what are you doing? Well, I guess if they can't eat them, they're going to teach them to drive a car, right? It's all good. What's our next story?
Well, again, swiftly moving to Germany now.
Good.
A 20-stone mugging victim's life was saved in Germany when a bullet fired at him was actually trapped by his fat. Rolf Mittelhaus, 49, didn't even notice he'd been shot until he was examined after reporting the attack to two police officers 2 days later. A mugger attacked me, he said, and I heard a loud bang, but I'd been out drinking and didn't really know what was going on. I didn't feel any pain, he'd said to police in Dortmund. Medics found the bullet stuck between the rolls of his fat, and it fell out during a routine examination for his injuries. It had barely pierced the skin, and he was smothered by all the flesh around it, said a police spokesman.
Wow.
I mean, you know, I'm liking to think now that when we're going out and eating a whole rack of ribs there, we're actually protecting ourselves.
Well, that's the way I'm going to look at it going forward.
I'm going to go out on Lake Street and just puff up my chest and dare people to shoot me.
No, Tim, not a good plan. No,
well,
don't even.
Drive-by shooting, I feel quite happy and relaxed to throw Tim in the way.
That's yes.
Nice.
I mean, what else could they have found? I mean, if they'd have been rooting around, I mean, is there a possibility they could have found, like, a remote control for the TV that he lost in 1989?
I'm sure the girl who he thought left him is in there somewhere too.
Yes.
I mean, might you have wondered why the TV was changing channels every time he got up and scratched his butt? I mean, is that a possibility?
Oh no.
I mean, you've got to be seriously drunk to not remember being shot, haven't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you could forget your door keys, or you could forget maybe an amorous encounter, but you know, I mean, do you not wake up in the morning and wonder why you've got an exit wound? Is that not possible?
Oh, that's disturbing. Where are we going next in the world, Adrian?
Oh, yes. This is a bit closer to home. This is quite amusing for me because I actually picked this up on a French website. I didn't pick this up anywhere in Britain, but the French like to see the British as stupid, so I'm not going to disappoint them on this one.
Excellent.
In Britain this week, there was an award for the strangest book written for the last 30 years. And the French had written about this, and this award was given in Britain. First prize was given to a book called Greek Rural Postmen and Their Cancellation Numbers. So that's obviously a top classic there.
Oh, that's going to be a big seller, yeah?
Yep. Second place was awarded to a book about people that have died but don't yet know it. I'm guessing when you're doing the research for that and you're interviewing the person, there's going to be a point in the conversation where you're going to have to break that news to them, aren't you?
It's going to get a little awkward, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, there's no easy way around that one, is there?
Jeez.
The third book was How to Avoid Large Ships.
Wait a minute. Now say that second word again. Ships. Yeah. S-H-I-P-S, correct?
It is indeed.
Thank you. Okay, good. We just make sure the accent doesn't get us in trouble with the FCC.
Yeah, and we know how difficult those tests are.
Yes.
Don't we? I was thinking about next year writing a book on how to avoid large dogs in cars. What do you think?
Definitely. Yeah, especially poodles driving in China.
I don't know if I'm allowed this story or not, because it's about David Beckham, but obviously he's based in America at the moment.
Go for it. He's an English guy. We'll take the story.
Excellent. We're going to move into UFOs. I didn't realize this until I read this article, but David Beckham's son, for those of you that don't know, David Beckham is a soccer player or a football player that plays for the Los Angeles Galaxy. But David Beckham's son's avid UFO spotters, apparently. The soccer star's friend, Robbie Williams, who has previously admitted he is fascinated by UFOs, heard about the children, Brooklyn, Romeo and Cruz, and their passion for UFOs, and he's actually made it his mission to ensure that they actually have a close encounter of the third kind. Whenever Robbie hears there's an unidentified object in and around Los Angeles, he phones David so he can take his sons to go and see it. Apparently the boys are fascinated by aliens and flying saucers and are desperate to see some. And when Robbie heard about their love of UFOs, he promised to tip David off. So when the call comes, David and the boys rush up to Hollywood Hills to try and spot some spooky lights up there in the skies.
Wow.
So I thought that was quite an interesting... I didn't realize that about David Beckham, actually.
Well, you know, I don't know if you have any way, and I think we have some connections to Robbie. Maybe we can connect with him. I'd like to have David Beckham and maybe his kids on the show to talk about it. We'll set him up. I know two places he can go where they do UFO deals every day, and there are sightings there every day. It'll be interesting
to
hear
grateful.
Bex, yeah, coming in and telling us. Although his life has got to be paranormal enough, being married to a sport, or what is it, a posh
Victoria.
Spice.
Yeah. Posh. Yeah, that's a strange one, that. Yeah, I'm glad you've got them over there, to be perfect.
Well, thanks a lot. Nice trade.
Yes, I mean, the last person we gave you was John Lennon, and you shot him.
Jeez. That's hurtful.
I'm glad you find that amusing.
Yes, well, you can have Elton back. We'll give you him. How does that seem? Like
well,
a good trade?
Friends. I mean, so that's a fair swap, obviously.
Yes, very good.
I mean, the quote of Oscar Wilde springs to mind, that we're all in the gutter, but some of us are looking up at the stars. So obviously David Beckham's looking up at the stars.
That is true. Oh, good God. All right, where are we going to go next now?
Well, I actually want to continue our theme in looking up at the skies. I found an article this week that says a television company has joined forces of a social networking site to send a message to the nearest theoretical inhabitable planet. This is a collaboration to send a signal to the planet Galice C, more than 20 light years away, carrying up to 500 messages from Earth. But scientists have raised the possibility that transmissions from Earth could actually draw the attention of malevolent aliens to were any to exist. But ordinary television and radio broadcasts can also travel out of Earth's atmosphere and through space. So it is possible that television and radio signals from Earth could already actually be picked up on other planets. Some radio waves, such as those of shortwave frequencies, bounce back off their ionosphere and are therefore poor candidates to be picked up in space. But waves like FM radio or television signals can pierce it and travel through the vacuum of space at the speed of light. So the show tonight, in actual fact, could in theory be picked up by aliens on other planets.
Well, that's good, because unfortunately the live stream, they can't get in any other country but the United States.
Right, right.
So
yes, I've discovered that, yeah.
At least the FM signal is going to make it over to Neptune and Uranus.
Yeah,
well,
hey
now.
In Britain. It is a concern for me that the first contact we might have, the first contact aliens might have with us, is actually your duck impression from last week. That's a concern to me.
They're not going to come here because there's no intelligent life to have to deal with then. You realize that?
So what you're saying is that humanity should actually be thanking you for your duck impression.
Yes. You know, we've got, you know, it's part of our funny part. Here's a China story for you already. You know, talking about the Chinese driving dog. We actually have an English class in China that listens to Darkness Radio as part of their curriculum, I guess. Not curriculum, but part of their deal to expand their English horizons and learning our language. Isn't that sad to know that Tim and I are partly responsible for the new vernacular that's going to start popping up in China?
Poor kids.
So let me get this right. There's people in China that are learning English via Minnesotan.
Yes.
Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah.
That in effect is what you're saying.
Yes,
they?
Yeah. So there's just going to be a bunch of Chinese people walking around going, huh? And making inappropriate innuendos about the paranormal. That's what we're here to lend to culture and society.
Well, it gives me a warm glow, certainly.
We're going to take our break here real quick. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show with our international correspondent, Adrian Lee. We'll be back with more and more fascinating stories from all around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Darkness right here. This is your home for Paranormal Talk Radio every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 p.m. to midnight. Thanks for joining us. And remember to check out our website. Join us in our live chat. Go to darknessradio.com. On the left side of the screen, there's a link for live chat. You can join us there. Also, if you are afraid you're going to miss an episode, we do podcast all of our episodes. So after they air within an hour or two of their airing time, you can find them right on our website. Go to the podcast section and find Darkness Radio there. We're going to go back into tonight's show. And I do want to make a quick mention. As I said at the beginning of the show, we have a brand new annual event that's going to be taking place. This year we're going to hold it at the Haunted Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota. It's a great location. We're going to do a live party out there, Halloween party. Come out dressed as your favorite costume. And like I said, there's going to be costume awards given out and everything. We'll have a great time. We're going to have all that information is up on our website at darknessevents.com. And Tim and I are going to be out there. The lovely Nicole Remini is going to join us. And all the way in from England, we're dragging him back, Tim. Are you happy about this? Yeah, we're going to drag back Adrian Lee. We're going to bring our international correspondent back and bring him into the live party so you get the chance to come on out, shake hands, meet with Adrian, get a picture taken with him so that you can prove that there really is a British guy here in the United States that's willing to talk to us in the middle of the night like this. Adrian, you're a trooper. Thanks for being up with us at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning like this to report the news.
I'm just glad you can't see me because I'm sat on my bed in my pajamas with bed hair and a cup of tea next to me.
Well, that's pretty much how Tim and I look, and we're in the studio. Let's go. Now, we've got some great stories coming up from all over. You know, UFOs have been a hot topic. What have you got for us this week in the UFO realm?
Yeah, we spoke on previous evenings about UFOs in Britain and how much activity there is. So I wanted to do a bit more research on that. I wanted to find some research acknowledging the amount of UFO activity we've actually been having over here. And I found this report from a couple of weeks ago, and I discovered the UFO sightings in UK this year have reached 150. Reported UFO sightings are at their highest level for years, with authorities now hearing about 4 mysterious objects in Britain's skies every week. These are just the reports to the police, military bases and the Ministry of Defence. And this is compared to 135 for the whole of 2007 and just 97 the year before that.
Wow.
The figures released after a request under the Freedom of Information Act suggest that 2008 will also be a bumpy year for alien activity. Malcolm Robinson, a founder of the research group Strange Phenomena Investigation, said something really bizarre is happening in the skies over the UK. A spokesman for the Ministry of Defence said as long as sightings present no threat to British airspace, they were not investigating them any further. But the MOD said they actually remained open-minded about the existence of aliens. So again, you know, this is a more open government we seem to have over here. And, you know, that's an awful lot of sightings per week if you're thinking there's four. We're obviously a very small country. I think saying that England can actually fit into the state of New Hampshire, but, you know, within that, we are getting a large number of sightings. And, of course, these are just the ones that happen to get reported. It makes me wonder, again, I've mentioned on other shows, you know, the ones that don't get reported, really.
Now, it's also interesting, though, that your beer is harder and thicker and gets you a lot drunker over there, doesn't it? Maybe they're seeing something because they're, you know, I don't know, experiencing more of that than they are UFOs, do you think? I mean, we had a guy out in Wales that saw the moon and thought he had a UFO over his house.
I can't disagree with you, and obviously we do like our beer over here. So that could be a distinct possibility. It might be that we've got more interesting things to look at over here.
Well, Adrian, and Tim, help me if I'm wrong, but maybe I think we should send Adrian out on a drinking binge one night and see if he also sees UFOs. It's all for scientific purposes.
As long as you promise to look after me.
Of course.
I don't want to be wandering around the streets of downtown St. Paul's on my own drunk.
Not a problem.
I mean, it'd be quite dangerous for a good-looking boy walking around on his own that time of night around there.
That is true. That is true. Now, where else are we going to go in the world? You know, and what I'd like you to do, too, for us, Adrian, is something that people keep bringing up to me is the heavy amount of UFO sightings in Mexico.
Right.
There's crazy video that's appearing on YouTube of these things called the Mexican witches.
Oh, yes, I've seen those.
And then these, like, silver balls that seem to be everywhere. In the sky. So if you've got something, we'd love for you to try to get a little bit more background for us on that, maybe for next week on the show, if you can give me any more information on what the people in Mexico think of this and what's going on and why is there such a huge upswing going on in Mexico of UFO sightings.
I could certainly do that for you. And, of course, the New Mexico isn't a million miles away, is it, where we had Roswell and all that?
Exactly.
So I can certainly do that for you. And I'm aware of the witches you're talking about on YouTube, they're quite an interesting phenomena to look at, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's just a weird, for those of you that may not be familiar, go in and type in Mexican witches on YouTube. And, I mean, they look almost fake, but these are, you know, there's news cameras that are capturing this footage as well. It's not just somebody out doing it with their home video camera and maybe tweaking it later. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend taking a look and see for yourself. The phenomena is pretty amazing.
Yes, I can. I'll do some research for you, and I'll have that for you for next week. That's not a problem.
I appreciate that. Now, where else are we off to?
Well, last week I gave you some job openings for you, but I thought tonight that I could actually perhaps see if I could interest you in expanding your mind and maybe going back to college, because I've got a couple of courses you might be interested in.
College was good to me. That's where I met my lovely little Tim.
Yes, I did hear that.
20 years ago. Yeah. So now what's going on in college courses? What are they teaching?
Well, in Wales at the moment, there's a new science fiction workshop for alien writers that has just started up at the University of Glamorgan. Now, I mean, these kind of courses obviously weren't available when I was studying, so I'm quite envious in many respects. This particular course will look at how science fiction, fantasy and horror writing has changed over the centuries, and obviously it's reaching new audiences through books, films and the internet. So the workshop will also include advice on how to make a budget science fiction film. So I thought there was quite a nice little course to go on there. It's something that I'd certainly be interested in looking at.
No doubt. Yeah, no, that's an interesting little deal. And that's taking place where?
That's in Wales at the University of Glamorgan. But Wales has actually got quite a history of this kind of genre. As you know yourself, the current Doctor Who series is being filmed in Cardiff.
Right.
But while I was doing this research, I didn't realize that the first alien contact story was actually written by the Bishop of Llandaff, Francis Godwin, back in 1638, would you believe?
Really?
Yeah, and that's the year 1638. That's not like nearly 20 to 5. But obviously, yeah, that goes back 400 years. So I was quite impressed to find that the first alien contact story ever written goes back to 1638. So you think of these things as being fairly recent, but that's actually been documented 400 years ago. But it should be quite interesting to see some young British talent coming through in the next few years if they come out of this course and have graduated and then can obviously start applying that.
Now, the story that was related, is that a real eyewitness account, or was it one of the original sci-fi stories written?
What, the Alien Contact story?
Right.
Yeah, that was an actual eyewitness account. It was an account by the Bishop of Llandaff, and he actually accounted, you know, himself, or he documented seeing lights and having alien contact with another species.
So he actually saw the species come out of the craft and talk to him?
Yes, and that's all documented, and that goes back, as I say, to 1638. So if you'd like me to put a bit more meat on that for you, I can research and give you the proper details for that.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I'd love to know a little bit more about that. I mean,
sure,
you know,
absolutely.
Everybody assumes that it's the 1940s is when things went crazy here in the United States.
Yeah, we've...
with UFO sightings.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's interesting for me that it goes back so far. I was wondering what kind of courses they'd be running on this particular university. I was thinking we could maybe participate in the zombie walking class. What do you think?
Yeah, zombie walking. I've got that down. I think Tim is a master at doctorate in zombie walking, especially after we've gone to the old country buffet all-you-can-eat deal.
I was wondering if there was perhaps a seminar on the dangers of engaging in a laser blast, a gunfight, in an enclosed space for health and safety reasons.
Yes. Now, see, these are the courses that are more important we should be seeing.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if there's anything else you'd like to see on that particular course. I'm sure the dean of the college would like to hear from you.
Yeah, I'll send in some idea. I think they should use us for their English course. What do you think? We'll get the English. We'll be learning their American vernacular from us as well.
Well, this will be the Welsh learning English.
Oh, that's right. The Welsh. Well, we got about 2 minutes left in this segment. Let's hit another country. Where else are we off to?
Well, if you fancy a trip to Pakistan, we can certainly do that.
I'd love a trip to Pakistan.
If you didn't fancy the previous course, there's actually another course running in Lahore at the moment in Pakistan, which is offering...
Right, running in where?
In Lahore, in Pakistan.
In the whore?
Lahore. It's the capital, sir.
Okay.
You're getting a real geography trip here, aren't
you? Yes, I am.
It's they're running 18 subjects, all based on the occult sciences. It's a new course, and the first batch of 50 students have recently passed out from Future Horizon, which is a school launched by a non-governmental organization, the Pakistani Astrological Council. And they're actually running a series of courses which includes astrology, palmistry, tarot card reading, rune reading, Reiki, telepathy, aromatherapy, clairvoyance, yoga. So there's actually some, you know, courses there that could broaden your horizons.
Well, that's interesting. Why do you think it is that these other countries are kind of opening up so much to the paranormal aspect and embracing it? I mean, it's almost like a real live Hogwarts, it sounds like, you know, with all the different courses that they're teaching for this type of phenomena.
I do think people have become more spiritual these days. I mean, with a consumer society, people have kind of got the things they've wanted in their life and then aren't intrinsically happy. So have perhaps gone back to look at the spiritual side. And then if I can actually cut in with the fact that, you know, there's a lot of money to be made. I know these courses are actually quite expensive, and I know that only the rich families in Pakistan can actually afford to send their children to these particular courses. So I do think there's probably a mixture of the two there as a dichotomy. You've got on one hand, you know, the fact that there's money to be made, and on the other hand, you know, people are becoming more spiritual and aware perhaps of some of these ancient and mystical arts.
Interesting. Well, we've got to take our next break here. We'll be back with about 10 more minutes with Adrian Lee from live from England. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, sitting across the board, Mr. Tim Dennis. Right now, we're exploring the weird world around us with our international correspondent, Adrian Lee. Stay tuned after the top of the hour, 10 o'clock, we're going to be back with Marlene Woolham, and she has written a book about a true-life ghost house that she had in Blaine, Minnesota here. It's called The Ghosts on 87th Lane, A True Story. And then in the third hour, at 11 o'clock to midnight, we're going to be joined by author Annie Wilder, who's also a local author, has written an amazing book. One of my favorite, I will say this, Tim, I'll go on record right now, one of my favorite true life ghost story books.
That's
this,
on record?
Yeah, on record. Right. This book scared the badoodle out of me.
The badoodle?
Badoodle. And that's not something you can clean out of a rug real easily.
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't. So, but check it out. Her book is called House of Spirits and Whispers. These are two fascinating books I think you're going to really enjoy. We'll be back again after the top of the hour with Marlene Woolham doing The Ghosts on 87th Lane, A True Story. And then after the 11 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Annie Wilder. But right now, let's go back to international correspondent Adrian Lee. Adrian,
I got a question for Adrian real quick before we start.
Sure, go ahead.
What is a badoodle in England, Adrian?
Well, it's funny you should say. say that, but I was feeling the weight of expectation on my shoulders that we've got lots of Chinese people wandering around now saying badoodle.
Well, it's just, you know, it's a happy word at least, right? Don't pick on me, man. I'm the host. I need this gig. So where are we off to in the world now, Adrian?
This one's closer to home. This was a study done in Denmark, of all places. But on Tuesday, there was a report published that linked the burning of joss sticks to an increase in cancer. So I thought a lot of our listeners would be interested in this.
In the burning of incense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, researchers have warned that burning joss sticks and incense is associated with an increase in some types of lung cancer and cancers of the upper respiratory tract, such as throat and mouth cancer. A 12-year study by Dr. Jep Freiberg and his colleagues of Staten Serum Institute in Copenhagen supported previous research showing that incense actually contains cancer-causing chemicals. This actual paper was studied between 1993 and 98, and Freiberg and his associates quizzed over 60,000 ethnic Chinese people in Singapore, aged between 45 and 78, and he asked them how much incense and they burn, and collected the details and the data on that and their lifestyle, and then compared that with how much they drank and how much they smoked. So in December 2005, the team checked back on their original guinea pigs via detailed health reports in Singapore, and they found that 325 had actually developed cancer of the respiratory tract, and 821 had developed lung cancer. So once they then adjusted the figures to include other possible cancer-causing factors, such as smoking, for instance, the researchers actually discovered that incense did increase the risk of developing cancers.
See, we're now, not only are we entertaining, Tim, we're educating, because most of the people I know in the paranormal field burn incense.
Now, I've seen that study as well, Adrian, and you probably have this coming up in your story. You have to burn incense for hours at a time per day, every day, for years in order for it to be a factor. Isn't that correct?
It is. I didn't realize you could even smoke the stuff.
Well, you
if
know,
you can roll it, you can smoke it.
A couple wild nights in college taught me that, Adrian.
I think you've got to be a 20-year mandate to get through the amount of incense you need to. I was wondering if you could get some incense patches. That might help.
There you go. I've got a little lilac patch on my shoulder right now to get me through my incense jag.
I'm not going to tell you where my patchouli patch is.
Oh, God. All right. Where are we off to next, Adrian?
I was wanting to touch upon a few witch stories, actually. I know we mentioned this on last Saturday's show, but there's been one or two incidents that have cropped up that I'd like to share with you.
Witches are big right now. Go ahead, hit me.
They are. I can't deny it. This one's in Poland, of all places. Government busybodies have ordered a medieval village to drop a witch-burning drama from its birthday pageant because it's too sexist. The spectacular blaze featuring dummy witches was to have been the highlight of a fair to celebrate the 900th anniversary of the ancient village of Zielona Góra. The witch burning was planned as part of a medieval fair featuring jousting knights and minstrels all over last weekend. But Polish women's rights groups and the government ministers have banned the display after protests that the stake burning drama was actually anti-feminist. It says making people's tragic deaths into a tourist attraction is reprehensible and regrettable, said the head of the Polish Association for Legal Education. And the stakes where the women were burned were the result of profound misogyny, discrimination against women, and ignorance. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in Britain we have a thing called Bonfire Night to celebrate the 5th of November, where we actually throw a dummy of a figure called Guy Fawkes onto a fire to commemorate the foiling of the gunpowder plot, which was a plan to blow up King James I in 1605. So there are ceremonies around the world, you know, that involve these kinds of celebrations, and it just seems a shame to me that, you know, it would be part of the festivities, and they've actually denied that happening. I mean, how would you feel, for instance, if I made a suggestion that you actually scrapped the 4th of July and Independence Day on the basis that, you know, 18,000 British troops were massacred and killed? Do you think that would go down well?
Not well, but they had it coming. I mean, they came over here looking for trouble, Adrian.
Well, maybe come over there again.
That's all right. I'll just stand there. You'll come walking past me. I'll hide in the bushes. Haven't you learned that lesson yet?
Yeah, I can't wait for coming over for Independence Day. To be fair, I did read that the Americans lost 25,000 troops, just to even that up a bit. But, you know, the point is that, you know, these celebrations.
Yeah, but we found them. They were just in Mexico on holiday.
That's right. I think it's quite amusing that we've had endless battles against the French for the last 2,000 years. And the new Eurostar tunnel that goes from Paris to London arrives at Waterloo Station, which is named after one of the battles where we beat them. So that always makes me smile.
Very cool.
How do we explain to our friends that we're bringing a sore loser to the 4th of July party?
Exactly. Sore loser.
I'm happy to go along. I just won't speak.
Oh, geez.
For fear of incriminating myself.
Well, we got about 3 minutes left here. Let's wrap up with a couple of big stories. What do you got for us left?
Yep, I can go to the final witchy story, actually. We've had some terrible weather here in the last couple of weeks. I think I've realized the reason why. There's a white witch that has cast a bad weather spell, apparently, on some Cromwell celebrations. A white witch has cast a bad weather spell in Ely, where Oliver Cromwell celebrations were to take place in Cambridgeshire. This was planned to mark the 350th anniversary of his death. And they've had a spell placed on them, according to the High Priest of the British White Witches. The accusation is that Oliver Cromwell saw and did nothing to help people from all over the country, but particularly the region of East Anglia and Cambridgeshire, from being imprisoned, tortured and hanged back in the 17th century. And this obviously still rankles with locals. Allegedly over 300 people are said to have been murdered between 1645 and 1647, and 20 people were charged with witchcraft alone and imprisoned in Ely Jail. So, you know, I'm suspecting now that the poor weather we've been having over here that I mentioned on last Saturday's show is actually down to a spell. As a side to this, actually, as I was doing this research, I found out that the ancient references going back to biblical times actually call a witch a kaska, which is K-A-S-K-A-H, and a kaska in Hebrew is actually a word that means poisoner, liar, or keeper of serpents. So very informative there.
With this rise in Wicca and witchcraft, and you mentioned last week, you know, damn that Buffy the Vampire Slayer, because now there's over 50,000 women leaving the church every year to kind of practice Wicca, and you know, are you finding, and maybe you can check this out for us too, and I'm sure I'll get some emails from the Wiccan environment and supporters, but is there an uprising all over of Wicca? I've run into more people in the United States over the last 2 years as well that are self-proclaimed Wiccans and witches as well. I'm just wondering what might be there, and maybe that's a good follow-up show we should pull up here in the future, Tim.
Why Wicca?
Yeah, why Wicca? Uh-huh. Why ask why?
I was wondering if it has to do something with the fact that, you know, with the alleged global warming and everything that's going on in the world, that it's a nature-based religion, and it's something where there's slightly more sort of faced with Mother Earth, if you like, and sort of getting back to that idea might be the way to go, I suspect.
Yeah, very well could be. Well, Adrian, we've got about a minute left. Do you have another short little story for us we can relate before we head off?
Yes, just that the end of the world is about to happen, so I'm glad we've got a minute to squeeze it.
Good.
In.
Sweet. Excellent.
Scientists have received death threats this week over an experiment that's taking place in Switzerland. There's a big particle accelerator that's been built. It's about 17 miles long in a circle, and it's actually going to smash protons together to try and replicate the Big Bang that created the universe 14 billion years ago. And people suspect that it's actually going to cause black holes and the whole of the Earth is going to swallow up. So there's been a lot of phone calls and a lot of protests that they don't want this